Morning, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day. This morning, we're continuing our journey towards the cross with Jesus. But as you know, we've also been looking at the few times where we know the actual words Jesus prayed and seeing what we can learn from them. You know, there was a time I clearly remember in my life when there was something I dearly wanted to happen. And when it looked like it wasn't going to happen, you know, it was one of those times in your life when I was consumed. It just never ended. I prayed, Lord, please. And after a bit, I realised this wasn't the right thing to ask as a Christian, so I said, if it's your will, please. But although I was saying this with my lips and my mind, I wasn't saying it with my heart. And it took weeks and weeks of this turmoil and this prayer before finally at a Christian conference, I was able to say it from my heart. And I share that story just to let you know that we all have the same struggles and to encourage us all to persevere in prayer. Have you ever desperately prayed for something to happen or not happen, or gone through a really dark time when you couldn't see God's purposes and love at work around you? And I guess we all have at some stage, and I guess that some people here, or some people who know people here, are in that place right now. When we have a desperate, crippling need, or are facing tough times, or are sick, or have been really hurt, we cry out to God, often with much more passion and zeal than at other times. Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's even harder when it's somebody else's need, because it's more painful to watch somebody else suffering than to go through it ourselves if we love them. But of course, it's not in any way wrong or selfish to take our most heartfelt needs to our loving and all-powerful Father. Jesus did repeatedly, and Paul commends us to do so in Philippians 4:6. Pete? Yes. So don't be anxious about anything, Paul says in Philippians, as you know. Don't be anxious about anything, but rather in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, let that operation go okay. Lord, let the tests not show anything. Lord, let me find someone who will love me. Lord, we just want a baby. Lord, we really need that promotion to happen. Lord, why am I left bereaved and lonely here and nobody loves me? But do we sometimes fall in the trap of treating God like a super vending machine, like these really flash ones we have at the hospital now? They can serve hot food, they can serve cold food, they can serve tea and coffee freshly brewed, they can serve all manner of cold drinks. But do we sometimes feel that as we demand what we want, the little wheel on the front, no matter how many times we tap it with our cards, nothing seems to be happening? Maybe in this series, where we are thinking about what it means to pray like Jesus, we can learn from his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, the garden of the olive press, leaving his disciples a few yards away, one of the Gospels says, no more than you can throw a stone, Jesus prays. And he doesn't pray like we've heard in the last 2 weeks, eloquently and lovingly for his disciples that they might be sanctified or they might be one. This is different. He prays desperately in anguish for what he and the disciples must face. He knows that in 18 hours he will have been betrayed by one close friend, repeatedly denied by his best friend, tried, mocked, scourged, and executed in the most demeaning way, the most agonizing way that the Romans, who were quite creative about these things, could come up with, and finally die. But much more than this, he will have to take on the sin, the failings, the guilt, the offensiveness of all the world before God. My sin, your sin, the sin of everyone who has ever lived at that point and anyone who will ever live. His perfect holiness will bear the wrath that we deserve. No wonder he falls to the ground, as Luke says, sweating blood, hemidrosis, a sign of extreme stress. And he doesn't have to do it. This is the key thing. He is choosing to do it. As the old song says, it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was love. He can get out of it easily. As Jesus tells Peter in just a few verses beyond our reading, do you not think, Peter, that I cannot call on my Father and he would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then, Peter, would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? So what can we see in Jesus' prayer? Well, this is a lovely painting by the artist Gauguin, Vincent van Gogh's best friend, apparently, or until they fell out. Gauguin painted this in about 1890. But I see three things in Jesus' prayer. The first thing we see is trust. Jesus starts by addressing God as his father. Mark puts it even more intimately. He says, Abba, father. Abba, daddy, dad, the Aramaic familiar. And Mark also adds that Jesus starts by saying, all things are possible for you. There's no bitterness or demanding. There's no petulance. Only respect and love and acknowledgement that the Father is loving and in control, even in this terribly dark time. And that acknowledgement, that respect for God's sovereignty, doesn't always come easily to me in my prayers. And secondly, we see honesty. You know, if you're like me, especially men, we don't like to show weakness to others. We don't want to look vulnerable. Leaders, ministers, priests, they find it especially hard to be honest with others. We don't want to put ourselves on the line. But Jesus wasn't afraid to show Peter and James and John that he was desperately in anguish, or to show them what honest prayer looks like. He's also honest with God. Jesus says, I don't want to die. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to become sin. Is there no way out, Father? And he says that knowing that this horror ahead of him is the Father's plan. His plan. As he said in Matthew a few chapters earlier, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is all part of the plan, and yet he is still honest enough to say what's on his heart. And the third thing I see in the story here, in what Jesus was going through, what Jesus prayed, is acceptance, surrender, submission to the will of God. Jesus prays in verse 39 that we've just read, Father, if it's possible, yet not as I will, but as you will. And the second and the third times, he's moved on even more. If it's not possible, Father, your will be done. There is obedience. There is submission. Jesus and the Father's wills are as one. God's purposes as his purposes. That's why he's able to go back to the disciples just as Judas bursts into the grove and say, come on, get up, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. He is now ready to face the challenge, the ordeal to come. So what can we take from Jesus' prayer this morning? Well, the first is that we should pray fervently and honestly for what's important to us. We should remember and have confidence that God is capable of great things, more, as Paul says elsewhere in Ephesians, than we could ever imagine or think about or conceive. We should not lose sight of our all-powerful and loving Father's concern for us, no matter how bleak or dark the situation we're going through seems. And we shouldn't be afraid to ask friends to pray with us and for us, as Jesus asked of Peter and James and John. Just in passing, there may be a challenge here for us all to be a better supporter in prayer, a better encourager, a better friend to those around us who have a need or are going through tough times. Better, certainly, than I've been sometimes in my life when other people have had a need, and better than Peter and James and John were to their best friend Jesus on this night. And Jesus prayed for them, even in his own distress, that they would not fall into temptation in their weaknesses. But like the foolish bridesmaids, they were caught asleep on the job. Literally, they were napping just when Jesus needed them the most. But finally, no matter how desperate our prayer, even if we don't seem to be getting anywhere, we need to learn to trust in that loving sovereignty of God. And we people, most of us here are more mature in our years, have learnt that over the years, more than when I was young, certainly. I've seen miracles in my life. I've known amazing blessings from God in prayer and changes in my life. But I also don't think, and I wouldn't stand up here this morning and tell you, that Christians have an easier life, have less suffering, less painful times, have any needs less overall than the rest of the population. Maybe we have it tougher than the rest of the population as we strive to do God's will. My mother was an Irish Catholic, just like Pete's, and she had a saying as she declined. She had a long and painful decline, both mentally and physically. But she used to say, what can't be cured must be endured. This is a very Irish Catholic thing to say, and it's a wonderful saying. But Jesus wasn't just praying for endurance through this ordeal, and at face value, what can't be cured must be endured is both true and profound, but also far, far too passive, because God has plans and purposes for us that we just cannot see. especially when we're at the eye of that storm, especially when things seem at their most desperate. But you know, just think about it for a second. I myself have seen members of this parish ministering to others in a hospital ward hours after they've been given the most terrible and imminent prognosis about their own health. I've seen those terribly hurt by the wickedness and violence of others witnessing powerfully to the goodness and mercy of God as they forgive. I've seen people painfully lay down relationships and the chance of a family life they would dearly have loved because they came to accept in prayer that God had other plans for them. And all around me, I see Christians going through times of physical or mental or emotional trial, still trying to serve God as best they can and serve others in his name. You know, Luke's account says that Jesus was strengthened as he prayed. God sent an angel to console and strengthen him. And as we pray, yet not as I will, but as you will feel that strengthening too. And you will become part of God's plans and purposes again. And the day I surrendered this big problem to God, I knew that blessing in a way I could never have imagined at that time. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. And as the band returns to sing, I'm just going to lead us briefly in prayer.